Oh, yes. Vivian and Phil Williams taking us up to Brewocracy Now on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. We're here back. I've been gone for a couple of weeks. I missed you, Mr. Morrow, and I see that you have a special guest on the screen with us today.
I do, and Tim, it's great to see you, and indeed, you can't imagine that I've missed you quite a bit in the last 2 weeks. Or maybe you can imagine. You can stream KPTV from anywhere.
I have been streaming Brewocracy Now. It's part of my routine, Mr. Morrow.
Excellent. Well, I just wanted to, she needs no introduction, but Mayor Michelle Sandoval is with us today. And it's a special day, really, for KPTZ. So I know we've done this at City Council, but, you know, we try to do our best to meet people where they are, and your listeners are listening. And so I'll hand it over to Mayor Sandoval to read a proclamation that we did last week.
I like the sounds of that.
Howdy, Tim.
Hi, Mayor Sandoval. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm well.
Good.
It was good to see you down in California with your daughter and
family. It was fun. And I you know, it's Facebook. We follow each other's lives, and it was good to see you also, various parts of your life.
Well, I'll go ahead and read this because it is an auspicious time for KPTC, and I am very honored to be able to read this for you today. Whereas KPTC Radio Port Townsend began broadcasting on May 14th, 2011, to develop a powerful community radio vision. And whereas over the decade, KPTZ Radio has become a preeminent community service organization providing entertainment, interview, and local news programming. And whereas KPTZ is dedicated to providing emergency response broadcasting in partnership with the City of Port Townsend and Jefferson County Department of Emergency Management. And whereas KPTZ frequently partners with diverse local arts and cultural nonprofits to produce remote live broadcasts of their concerts, festivals, and civic events, and with the city and the county to simulcast important governmental public meetings during the COVID-19 pandemic. And whereas this year, KPTZ completes the long envisioned build out of its new state-of-the-art studios and offices with the station as the anchor tenant in the Fort Worden Lifelong Learning Center Makers Square campus. And whereas the 2021 observance KPTZ Radio Port Townsend Day provides an opportunity to recognize the station's board of directors, staff, and volunteers for all of their many contributions to our city and to Jefferson County. Now, therefore, I, Michelle Sandoval, Mayor of the City of Port Townsend, do hereby proclaim the 10th anniversary of KPTZ initial broadcast on May 14th, 2021 as KPTZ Radio Port Townsend Day in the City of Port Townsend. Woohoo!
Well, you know, Michelle, it does mean a lot to just to have our local elected representatives recognize the value of KPTZ. But I've been thinking, just beyond that, how much the city's involvement planting, and these seeds were planted a long time ago, and there were various starts for failed efforts to do a community radio station. But this time it seemed like everything came together. This place that we're in right now at Mountain View, I think Mountain View was still a school when we first started thinking about this, and everything kind of came together. But the city has been just a huge help in making this happen. And now moving to a new studio, it just, I think it really illustrates how when support and these seeds are planted by people like yourself, really, to help out this effort, they really do bear fruit.
It's pretty amazing. You know, I think back on just what this community of volunteers accomplishes. It's remarkable. So I was involved in an effort gee whiz, so it had to have been 15 years ago, maybe 18 years ago, to start a radio station with a group of people. Phil Andrus was one of those. And we met at my house for over a year. Some of the people don't even live here anymore. And we went through a whole process. And then we did not get the station that we wanted, or the, I don't know the technical terms, but it went to a religious radio station in Squim. And in any case, it was very interesting. I had no knowledge about going through the process. I just wanted a local radio station. So now you guys do all the work and I get to enjoy the local radio station. And I just want to applaud everybody involved in terms of all of the work during the COVID crisis, because you really stepped up and became extremely informative for our community. I have heard that again and again in terms of people listening to our local radio station, as well as the fact that people actually listen to both the county and the city meetings, which they're surprised at that, and I'm surprised at that, and it's all good. And so thank you for doing this. Thank you for being here for 10 years, going strong. Thanks to all of the volunteers. I mean, I like to say, you know, I used to be in the restaurant business and I loved what I did, but boy, it was hard work. And so when somebody comes along and puts that hard work into a wonderful restaurant here, I'm so thankful. I don't have to do it. I just get to enjoy it. And it's the same thing with the radio station. I just love having you on the dial, and thanks, Tim, and everybody else back there behind the scenes for all the work you do.
And you touched on a very important point. It seems like the right people have to walk through the door at the right time. People like Bill Putney our current Robert, our station manager or general manager. You just get the right people at the right time. I didn't know that you were involved in that previous effort. And yeah, it's a lot of work, but it does bear fruit. And the whole concept of community radio, I think KPTZ does really well as reflecting Port Townsend as it is, because we're pretty eclectic here on the side of the mic. And I think that is a good reflection of this town. When you talk about the services that are provided as far as COVID and also, I have to speak to our city manager, John Morrow, this community engagement. I don't know how many places do this in the same kind of format, open type of format that we have here. And all of this is so important to keeping a vibrant community. And as you know, that's really important. So thanks to everybody. And thank you, Michelle, and the city council for that proclamation. Tomorrow is KPTZ Day. I'm sure we'll repeat that a few times on the air as we go forward.
Thank you. I'm going to let you grill the city manager. And I'm going to take my leave, but I'll be listening. Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you so much.
Bye, John.
Thank you, Mayor Sandoval. She gets to grill me all the time, so she just wants to give other people a chance. Oh. I enjoy the grilling. I enjoy the grilling here, and I enjoy the grilling that Michelle gives me.
Well, it's a good thing you enjoy that, John. Not everybody does. I have to say that.
It's kind of toasted, you know, nicely toasted and sort of just gently melted, and not a full grilling.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So here we are. Mr. Morrow, do you have one topic that you want to start our conversation off with?
Well, I mean, I like how we started today, and I don't want to necessarily, you know, burn too far in this direction, but I got thinking actually as Mayor Sandoval was talking about my very, very short career hosting a radio show, not this one, but at my college radio station. And I kind of got nostalgic about, you know, what an effort that takes and how many people are involved and how vibrant that makes, you know, even a college campus in the middle of nowhere in Vermont where I went to school. And so, you know, I'm still understanding the impact of KPTZ on this community. And You know, it's a real honor to be able to spend some time here. But, you know, like anything, I think there's a real strong metaphor here. It takes vision. It takes community coordination and effort. And we all benefit when people like really step up for this community. So it's with, you know, without any hesitation that I just say thank you. Thank you, KPTZ, for all the work you do. You know, you keep people informed. So and actually having fun and listening to cool music. So I very much appreciate the time you put in, Tim.
And the having fun part is the big part for me, because I'm a little bit of a hedonist, frankly, when it comes right down to it. I only do things that are fun at this point in my life. Great. This is my idea of fun, speaking with you and taking questions from the public, which I want to jump right into one because the last time I was here, which was a few weeks ago, I got some late and I wasn't able to get to them. So I will. This one from our friend Bill Wise. Can you tell us if and to what extent the city of Port Townsend might receive any applicable federal government relief / funds? What would be the plan for public input regarding the use of those funds? Do you think there might be an opportunity to use those funds to address the comprehensive plan priority regarding affordable housing?
Yeah, no, that's a great question from Bill. Yes, it looks as though we will be receiving some federal relief like every city and every county in this country. And I think until just the last couple of days, it was very unclear for what and what the guidelines are and how long and what's eligible and all that. So I know that my very talented finance team has been sussing that out. And I think we actually have more than just ambiguous direction. I think we actually have some stronger guidelines on eligibility. And here's what I'll share with you, and not to speak directly to affordable housing, but you know, we do a lot of things at the city that people depend on, might not even know happens behind the scenes. You know, we had a tough year, and I don't want to use this as an excuse, but you know, we lost quite a considerable amount of anticipated revenue. And this federal relief fund currently going out comes in two phases to cities and counties, split in half. And the first phase we anticipate comes in another, you know, within the month or two. The city, I think it's anticipated we get about $1 million, the first installation and the second installation as well. The county, Jefferson County, is likely to get about $3 million and then $3 million. You know, some counties and some cities are getting quite a lot more because it's population based. But what this does effectively right away is, you know, we ironically ate about $1 million worth of loss this past year for revenue. So we had to shave staff, furlough people, take leave, you know, and really scrimp down on what we usually do. So, you know, my first recommendation to council moving forward is let's sort of stop that bleeding and repair what we had to shave off this past year. And you know, that's a variety of things. And we need to, you know, match eligibility and make sure it's within the bounds. But there are a number of positions we haven't hired back. There's a number of services we drew down. That's sort of first point for me, because my responsibility is to steward the city budget and do so effectively and, you know, without going into the red. The other thing is, you know, what I understand, the second allocation is eligible through 2024. And so, you know, the fiscal conservative in me says, okay, we don't really know how recovery is going to go. We don't know exactly when people are going to come back in droves and love this town like we do, you know, and spend money and go back home and that kind of thing. You know, until we know when we recover, and if we have a couple of years to fill the gap, to me, that's a very sensible and safe approach. So that's, you know, that's kind of the big picture plan that's in my brain right now, is recover from the losses and then actually kind of build ourselves back carefully instead of just all of a sudden spending the money and being having to kind of do the same exercise next year if we're not fully recovered. To Bill's other question, and sorry, it's a long answer, Tim. You know, we were successful, and I didn't want to trumpet this. You know, we didn't get a press release out. We didn't talk about this publicly very much. But, you know, the city was successful in attracting state funding in the capital budget. And, you know, hats off to the city council and the mayor for having great relationships with our state delegation. Hats off to my public works team and Steve King in particular, who accompanied me in some conversations with our state delegation. And we worked out our primary ask of the state delegation in the budget this year, and our number one priority in our legislative agenda, was for affordable housing, in particular for infrastructure money, because that's the city's wheelhouse. That's what we do well. We build the sewer, we build and operate sewer and water and transportation. You know, we don't necessarily build housing. And so for affordable housing, we were successful in receiving $3.1 million of state funding for specifically for affordable housing infrastructure. So, you know, notwithstanding whatever's going to happen at the federal level, we are advancing ideas and concepts for how to put that money to use to drive down the cost of housing and get some affordable housing built, not as us as builders of the housing, but us as purveyors of the infrastructure required to make that housing work.
That is excellent news.
Yeah.
You heard it on Bureaucracy Now.
I know, you heard it here first, folks, but we're racing to figure out how to do it the next couple of years. So,
well, and it's a point well taken in that, you know, when people think of funding coming in from the federal government, there, I think in my own mind, there's this tendency to jump to, well, and maybe we can get that monorail built now. But like you said, it is a transfusion for previous bleeding. And so it is important, and especially sitting in your chair and being the guy, that juggles these figures, to realize that the unforeseen things happen, whether it's a cutback on the ferries that could affect our tax base and during a busy time of the year, these things happen. And so I really appreciate the fiscal conservatism that you spoke about, because these things, there's no crystal ball.
No, and I hate to admit that. I mean, you know, I think I'm a wide variety of political persuasion and really just agnostic and just, you know, the chief bureaucrat here. So I don't need an opinion and I don't get one. But I think there's some principles, and I share this even in my interview, you know, principles of budgeting that I firmly believe in, and, you know, stewarding our collective community resource to deliver the things that we prioritize as the most important. That's, you know, if I can't do that, then I shouldn't be sitting in the chair. So, you know, I appreciate that. I think the other thing, Tim, I mean, a sort of bright light of optimism, I was just hearing from somebody, I was talking with Aaron Berg at the port right before this, and he noted that, you know, the story about the CDC relaxing their masking rules for those who are vaccinated. And so I wanted to speak to that because it has to do with recovery, maybe attracting more folks to our town and getting some of our events back on and returning to some sort of normal. But there's a few caveats to that. So I hate to be like the black hat, but, you know, given the mic right now, I thought I'd say, hey, that's welcome news. It's pretty exciting because I get my second shot this Saturday. And then 2 weeks later, I'll be fully vaccinated, like many in our community. In fact, we're leading the state in vaccinations. And I'm thrilled by that. But there are some travel restrictions still. You can't get on a plane without a mask and that sort of thing. Some concerns for those who are immunocompromised, and actually some real requirements of having our local, you know, public health and state guidelines changed to match the CDC guidance. So for those saying, okay, whip the mask off, I'm inside, I'm vaccinated, all good. Not quite yet, because we have local and state rules and guidelines that we need to align first. But I think the future's looking brighter. We're going to look more like this without the mask on once we're vaccinated and back in action.
Well, you know, I'm with you on putting out the good with the bad. The good is creeping up on us. There's some music on Water Street. That, to me, is the harbinger of good times. And even though it's small, there will be a time. And we'll be back to normal. I believe we just passed the 50% vaccination rate in this county.
Yeah, we're well above 50 from what I understand. So that's, keep going, people. You know, you get a lot more freedom to in the near future if you're fully vaccinated than if you're not. And if you have the choice to do so, I couldn't speak more enthusiastically about just getting it done now.
And I read in your email on a different topic, John Morrow. And by the way, if you're just joining us, this is John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager on Bureaucracy Now. Nick, Public Works Week. Public Works.
Yeah.
One of your favorite subjects, and frankly, one of mine. And just to put this out there, who is our guest next week?
So Tyler Johnson is from the Capital Public Works Capital Administration team. He's our GIS guru. He's been really instrumental in doing our dark sky LED energy efficiency street lighting program that we've started to talk about at council. And so it's a great chance for us to dive into what that means. And so Tyler will be joining me next week from the Public Works team.
Well, that'll be interesting because that's one of my favorite topics is dark skies. It seems that with the evolution of LED lighting, things have gotten brighter everywhere. And I'm not fond of that, frankly. But I did notice the topic on Engage PT. You have some information out there that people may want to take a look at and become informed about.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm grateful to those I've already read the comments that go into the council packet for Monday. The people have already taken the time to reflect their concerns and their enthusiasm. And it's a mix of both. And that's what's great about a democracy is we want public opinion to shape the policymaking. And, you know, some of the concerns around brightness. I mean, LEDs are fantastically efficient, but they could be really blue and bright and kind of not really help with the kind of, it seems like this community by and large really enjoys the night sky. And we don't have everything lit up. And I myself went for a nice walk last night with a headlamp in my pocket, but I barely pulled it out because it was so lovely to walk in the dark. But I think we need to get those little pieces right. And I think next week will be a great chance to talk to Tyler about, you know, the fact that we have, you know, it'll be Wi-Fi dimmable. We could walk up next to a streetlight and say, that's too bright. We're going to turn that down. And so we can work with the community on the concerns and also roll out a program that is now, you know, thanks to the PUD and their partnership, as well as $177,000 grant we just received from the state, it'll be a lot easier for us to make the investment.
Oh, that'll be interesting. And so everybody out there, start thinking about that now if you have questions for Public Works, because Public Works is such a huge part of what you do. I mean, whether somebody runs over a stop sign on Water Street or how about this one? And this, on part of our mission of tamping down rumors, Mill Street, is that city property behind Kuhn Plumbing? Or is that?
I'd have to look at the specific parcel. So are we talking about there's a stormwater pond being constructed right now? I'm guessing that's maybe what you mean.
That is.
Yeah. And so that is a project underway right now, specifically to deal with a stormwater, and actually in partnership with a regional developer. We had Anderson Homes pay into the system for their stormwater to develop a parcel for multifamily housing right around the Rainier Roundabout, just to the north side. So that project is now being increased in size to take account for that new development, which is a really great public-private partnership to do just-in-time infrastructure to free up, for housing. So I've heard some rumors that that's a different thing than a stormwater retention pond. That's a stormwater retention pond, people.
that's why I love this show, because there have been some wild rumors, and rumors take on a life of their own, don't they? It's a stormwater retention spot. Pond, there you have it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of exciting stuff happening in that part of town, as other parts of town too. And, you know, we're really trying to think about how to provide infrastructure and get housing and, take advantage of the sub area plan, which was developed before I got here. So there's a lot of moving parts, but that's what's being constructed right now. And next week, you know, join us for Public Works Week. I Steve King hardly ever takes a day off, and the guy works so hard. I think it's actually his day off for the first time in I don't know how long. So he might be on his boat or out at the beach. He'll probably be tuning in, but we could bring Steve in after Public Works Week when he gets a little rest.
You're a good boss.
I have a great team, Tim.
Yeah. We have 1 minute left on Brewocracy. Now, I want to put this out there that this is our celebration of 10 years, raising funds for to keep the station afloat, to keep things like Brewocracy Now live and on the air. Keep the lights going, not too bright, a little bit dimmer, hopefully. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank the folks that contributed during my show this morning, Discovery Road, which I didn't have a chance to thank you. So Karen, Jill, Denise, Brian, Mark, Joe, I know who that is, and Shelley, thank you so much for contributing to KPTZ and everybody that contributes. It's matched. There's a matching grant right now. Keep us afloat. Keep us talking to our city manager so that we know where the retention pond is and all these things that, that come together to make this such a wonderful place to live. Anything else, John? We're about to wrap up, and I look forward to next week.
Yeah, we'll do it next week, and I think you've already got your PSAs about our water report. That was the only one thing I wanted to mention that's available online. So if you want to know about our drinking water report, go check it out.
Oh, I'll do that. I love drinking water.
Me too. Yeah. The best anywhere.
Thank you so much, John Morrow. Until next week.
Tim, welcome back. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye.